Tuesday, April 20th, was the day of the Italian visit. The Prime Minister, Mr. Aldo Moro, arrived for a ceremony on the South Lawn at 11 o'clock. In brilliant weather, the military, stiff and colorful, 19-gun salute, the two anthems, the exchange of speeches, the routine I'm coming to know well. The Prime Minister was handsome, 40-ish, soft-spoken and modest-looking, and right behind him trotted Fanfani, a bouillant, outgoing. He was the Prime Minister when we were in Italy in 1962. Jack remarked that he would hate to be preceding Fanfani down a long flight of stairs if he were the Prime Minister. Fanfani is now Rust opposite number. The only unusual feature was a group of very attractive young women lined up, I don't know exactly why, close to the reviewing stand, headed by Anne Hahn, including Mary Margaret, Mary V, Barbara Hauer, and then took the Prime Minister to his office for a talk. And then later, after 12, I joined them in the Rose Garden and took my first pictures with my long unused movie camera, film vintage 1958. How that did amuse Oki, but I want to get started again with it. And then we walked across Lafayette Square to Decatur House, escorting Prime Minister Moro to his luncheon date, the Secretary of the Treasury, amid the crowd of tourists and squealing children on vacation from school. It is impossible for me to walk in such a situation and make any sensible conversation and to leave off being self-conscious. The big event of the day, of course, was the dinner for the Prime Minister that night. I'd brief my house guests with a list of those coming. Actually, as I looked at it, I began to think that all America was Italian, that when Columbus got here, he'd really taken over the place. Everybody's name seemed to end with either an I, such as the Antoninis of the Labor Council, the De Medicis, Italian newspaper people, or the Jack Valentis, R with an O, which is Congressman Rodino, Giamo, Adabo, Vigorito, Annunzio. Among them, Senator John Sherman Cooper stood out rather unexpectedly. From the cabinet, there was, of course, Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare, Mr. Celebrezze, and from the court, Justice and Mrs. Goldberg. By my own special desire, the Leroy Collins were there, and the Livingston Biddles and Richard Dietrich, who had given to the White House, the wonderful Sully, Fanny Kemble. And from the art world, it was Anna Maffa, Mrs. Mario Lanfranchi, and Giancarlo Minotti, the playwright, and John Ciardi, the poetry editor of the Saturday Review of Literature. My friends, the Armon Hammers, were there from Campobello. The newspaper world was represented by Betty Beale and Marianne Means in her date, and the Fortune Popes of Il Progresso. And the church, by the apostolic delegate, Mr. Egidio Vagnosi, and by Cardinal Sheehan of Baltimore. And of course, from Texas, we had the Negleys and the Odoms and the Bill Bowers from Port Lavaca. Nobody had more fun than Nancy Negley. It's meant a lot to me to have them and the Odoms as house guests, even though I've spent practically no time with them. But I have arranged for a car and a tour. And Mrs. Nicholas Longworth, what a parade of Washington she's seen, sat on Lyndon's left. George Meany labored along on his cane. He's probably seen almost as many state dinners as Mrs. Longworth. Adam Gimbels of Saks Fifth Avenue were there. In compliment to our guests, we had Pompano Moro and Asparagus Barry. That is the name of the town that the Prime Minister comes from. Fanfani was very easy to talk to, even without English, or only bits of English. He talked about the dinners at Villa Taverna and Villa Madama. He'd picked a rose for me in the garden. Of course, the inevitable possible trip to Italy. The Prime Minister was kind and gentle and pleasant, but not easy to talk to. I could see Lyndon having a good time with Mrs. Longworth, and I was grateful. Her toasts were long, and doubly so because of translation, and it was well past 10 when we left for coffee in the parlors. And then the treat of the evening, to hear Leontine Price. I introduced her about two sentences. I'm grateful that some columnist later wrote that it was graceful. I thought her program was splendid, well balanced. Handel, Puccini, Summertime from Porgy and Bess, and winding up with He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. And it must have been not more than 20 minutes, probably less. She seemed nervous, and actually I wish she had gone on. She had been a Medal of Freedom winner and had not been able to attend the ceremony because she was touring Europe. So Lyndon awarded her the medal when she finished the program. She was very impressive, great presence, but I felt somehow that I had not accomplished what I wanted to in making her feel that it was a very special night, that we appreciated and enjoyed her talent so much. Dear Nancy is a wonderful help in making a party go. She was busy taking care of guests that I had pointed out. There was dancing in the foyer, but I took Lyndon's hand and hopefully threaded him through the crowds, and we were upstairs a moment before 12. It had been a day of all out for a visiting chief of state. He'd even attended a part of a cabinet meeting. I don't know when more personal effort has been expended on one, but altogether I think it's been satisfactory. At least I think the handsome Italian ambassador, Mr. Finial Taylor, was in a glow, and Foreign Minister Fanfani was in no wise subdued by being here as second man.